Some highlights there from the weekend. We had the Ed Peltz Holiday Classic over at Port Huron Northern, and the Port Huron High Big Reds came out on top. Before we introduce Coach Marion Stewart, who is here with us to talk about that and a whole lot of stuff, because Marion likes to talk about a whole lot of stuff. So, and we don't hold back on this show. We'll probably even get Brady talking about Jim Caldwell here in the first segment. But I did want to go over the weekend. The ladies played up in Croswell in the Blue Water Holiday Classic. Northern beat Marysville 49-18 in the first semifinal. Croslex beat PH 49-38. Then in the consolation game, Marysville got a little revenge because they had lost at home to PH earlier in the year in overtime. They beat them 49-40 this time around, and Northern crushed Croslex 59-28. Olivia Ramsey, 20 points. Sammy Klink had 16, and Sarah White had 13. So Northern was clearly the best team in that tournament. And they showed that with a couple of blowout wins. So then we got the boys. They played over at Northern. Real good first game. Croslex, I saw another half-court shot at the buzzer to finish the first half. That's my fourth this year, Brandon.
And we're not even into 2018 yet.
We're not even into 20. I've seen four this year. And then they knocked down a shot at the buzzer in the fourth to put it into overtime. And they end up winning 67-65. Hunter Soper had 28 points.
Wow.
Remember that. Okay?
Okay.
Just remember that Hunter Soper had 28 points. Tyler Johnson had 20, and Jacob Kretsch had 11. Chris Moran, 13 for Marysville. Ethan Balon with 12. He's just a freshman. Brian Butler had 11 points and probably only played 8 minutes in the whole game because of foul trouble. Brendan Moran had 10 points. Then PH beat Northern Friday night. 48-41, 8 3-pointers, Coach. 8 3-pointers by your basketball team, led by Tyler Balon, who had 19. Eli Kochnitsky had 12 points in that game. He knocked down 3 threes. Dale Voss scored 10 for PH. Deonta Johnson had 9. Let's start with that game Friday night. Number one, just the atmosphere alone in the gym. I love it when they bring the bands in.
Mm-hmm.
It gets the crowd going. It just makes – and even – because it was a bit of a slow start to the game. It's kind of ugly early on. But you don't notice it as much because there's just so much atmosphere and so much electricity. And you really get the feel for the crosstown rivalry.
Yeah, I think both teams came out pretty shaky. I think it was a combination of 4 or 5 turnovers in the first 2 or 3 minutes going both sides. And then with us, we're young. Like, we started freshman. We have some sophomores in a rotation, and I think only 5 or 6 guys on the team had game experience at the varsity level coming in this year. So it's been a learning, you know, curve, and you could tell in warm-ups guys were nervous. And I won't say I wasn't because that was my first right. big game. But when the band gets loud and the fans get going, it brought back a lot of memories from when I played too. So.
This is what I know is because you played Tower early in the week, and I think it was 33-30.
Yeah.
And then in this game, you only give up 41 points. And then when you played Croslex on Saturday, you only gave up 34 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you can continue to do that, well, you're going to have a chance to win some basketball games.
That's our main focus in probably half our practices is just defensive drills. Coach Thomason, I wish he was here. We had some other things to do. But that's what we preach, man. It's the defensive intensity, offense, a come and go. But if you can hold a team 40, 38 points or less, then you have a chance. The Warren Woods Tower game was a slow game, and we didn't hit 8 threes. So, but you want to come out of a game, if you hold a team to 33 points, you hope to win that. We missed the front end of 3 1-and-1s in the last minute of the fourth quarter, which cost us a game. So, that's the only thing that you can ask for is to be in it. And that's one thing we didn't do against Chippewa Valley. We allowed them to get out and run, and they just
– Yeah, that's the style of play they like. And that, the teams you play in the MAC, it's a lot of run-and-gun style.
Yep. And I like that too, you know, run-and-gun, but it's stop that first initial run, and then now you got to settle down, play great defense, and help and talk. But we're getting better at that. And we're hitting shots. We want to get rebounds. We want to get out and run, and we want to slow the other team down.
Well, the first kid that jumps out at me was Tyler Bailon. Mm-hmm. 19 points on Friday. He had 10 points on Saturday, but it wasn't the offense on Saturday. It was his he must have had a half dozen block shots.
Yep.
And then once he blocked three or four, it started changing the way the kids for Crosslex, when they'd get into the paint, they started changing their shots just because mm-hmm. they knew he was there, and they started missing shots badly just because he was standing there.
And they did a great job, talking to their coach afterwards, of slowing us down with their zone. And Tyler really isn't a 4 or 5. I mean, at the next level, he would easily be a 3 because he can shoot the lights out. So he kind of plays out of position for us. So they kind of built the wall around him and didn't let him get loose that game. But I told him, you got to always find a way to keep yourself involved in the game. And he blocked, I want to say, 2 or 3 3-point attempts, and then which led us to about 6 to 8 fast break points. So he didn't get the points for that, but he knows that was the reason why we got out there, and it changed the game in the second half.
Yeah, I think he the last couple seconds of the third quarter, I think he blocked 2 in a row.
Yeah.
They were trying to get the last shot off, and he just wouldn't let them.
Mm-hmm. He's very athletic. He's wiry. He's really long. I mean, he's legit 6'5", 6'6", so he can get out there to that ball. He's a great athlete.
Saturday's scores, by the way, Northern beat Marysville in the consolation game 41-32. James DeLong had 15, Kofi Kimbrell with 9. Brendan Moran had 8 and left after the third quarter on crutches, and Brian Butler had 7. And then the Big Reds beat Crosslex 50-34. Now, two different games. You beat Northern 48-41, but you were up 16 mm-hmm. going into the fourth quarter. So that was a different kind of finish as to with Crosslex. This, at one point in the second half, it was 32-32, and you end up winning 50-34. So you had a big start against Northern. You had a big finish against Crosslex.
Yeah, that's our big thing we've been talking to our kids about is every game we've been getting better, but we haven't really had a complete game where we'll go a quarter and a half stretch of playing great basketball, and then we don't close out. I think the Northern game was a combination of guys being young and then us trying to use some clock to preserve the win, but then we weren't being aggressive enough when the opportunities persisted itself. But I knew sooner or later Crosslex was going to have to come out of that zone. And once they got close, then Coach Cliff and I talked like, all right, now they got to go man-to-man. This is where we're going to make our run. And they came out, and we just went on that run, and then they couldn't regain.
Now, so, remember what I said about Hunter Soper, 28
yeah.
points?
Yeah.
2 points on Saturday.
That's a big difference.
Yep. That's a big difference.
That was we had a shoot around Saturday morning, and we talked about him and I think number 21, the other freshman who was hitting some threes.
Yeah.
And I was like, deny him. If he gets the ball, he passes back. If he passes it away and you allow him to get the ball back, you're sitting the bench. And it happened 2 or 3 times where a guy let him get loose, and thankfully he missed, but the dead ball, you're coming to have a seat next to me. Because that guy can shoot, man. They've got some talent coming, and you can tell they're young, but if you can't get open, if you can't shoot the ball, then we have a chance. And like I said, I told the guys, if you let them, just like Northern, they always do that classic mm-hmm. backdoor
right.
layup. Yeah. We went over that. I got caught on it when I was in high school. But, but I told the guys,
and they've been running it for years.
Oh yeah,
with a whole bunch of different ways, and everybody knows it's coming. But then it's like you get caught in the game. But in that situation too, if you get caught on the backdoor, you're sitting down, and it happened. So kid had to sit. So it's just things that we work on defensively that our mainstays, and if this happens, this is so there's no surprise.
7 more threes Saturday for you guys, and D.V. Price with 14 points led the way. We mentioned Tyler Bailon had 10, and Cameron Enright had 8 points. Here's the other thing that I liked about you against Crosslex. I think you can go a little bit deeper into your bench. Like, they've got 3 or 4 good kids,
mm-hmm.
but then they're really young, and they don't have a whole lot that's contributing right now when they bring guys in off the bench. Whereas you, you didn't even start the same 5 both games because I think you've got a lot of kids that can come in and do stuff. Curtis Corby's a great athlete. He hardly played Saturday, but he's a kid that I know the from watching him even last year. If you put him in the game, he can do stuff for you. So I think you got a little more on your bench than some of the other teams you're going to play.
And it goes, and Corby is a great athlete, but it goes back to like the feel of the game and who's doing what. I mean, if it's an up and down pace game, a guy like Corby got to get on the court because not too many guys are going to be faster than him. But if you slow it down, then you have different, you know, situations where you need a better shooter out there, or you might need a taller guy. It just depends on what the flow of the game is. And then like guys like DV Price, who's a freshman, that kid's going to be ridiculous. For a guy to be a freshman to handle that pressure being a starting point guard, he's going to be something special. And then, like, the guys, too, have bought in. Like, we had a lot of guys coming in this summer, working out, getting them shots, calling me, coach, hey, I want to get in at 5 o'clock in the morning. Can we go in and shoot? I'm like, all right, let's go and get them in there. So we've got a lot of guys that are kind of the same, and it just depends on the night. But we've got depth, but we're small. So we got to use that so when we pressure defense, we can keep rotating guys in.
All right, we're going to take a break, but you can hang out for us for a little while, right?
Yep.
All right, we'll be back with more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. All right, we're back with Coach Marion Stewart from Port Huron High. Brady Beaton's here, too, feeling better. You have a good Christmas?
I did have a good Christmas. How was yours?
Christmas was good. Christmas was good. I survived. You get together, you know, you got the families on both sides, and you get together, Coach, and you survive.
Yeah. It's always important to eat good, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have any problem with that. I'm not shy about getting up to the table for seconds, thirds, or fourths. All right, we were kind of talking about everything there during the break. Coach is also a football guy. He's not just a basketball guy. He's been working with Coach Mullins. How many years have you been on the staff?
2 years. This will be my third coming up.
That program has really made a big turnaround in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
And is back on the map. I know you guys were a little disappointed, I think, with how it went this year, but you were actually, I think you guys were closer than a lot of people.
Still got a MAC title.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. You won a league championship, and maybe another win gets you into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was tough because you lose some games that you know that you could have won, and then you win some games that you don't know if you could have or should have, whatever. But, like, Grosse Pointe North, we shocked everybody when we beat them when Lily kicked a field goal at the end. But then we'll go to other teams, and then, I don't know, it's weird.
Well, you know, the Roseville game was the one that surprised me, but because I didn't know week two – Roseville was going to be a playoff team at the end of the year. You didn't know they were that good.
Yeah. We knew they were good watching film, but it was still a team that we felt we should have beat because they ran to our strength and as our defense and as to the inside. But they snuck a couple things to the outside. We didn't do our gap integrity. And then, you know, we got some guys outside and they took off on us. But Roseville is making a turn, too, for the better. So they're always going to be – they're going to be tough.
Yeah. There's a couple of schools that kind of a changing of the tides because Stevenson is down now, and I know they play in the red, but they used to kick everybody's tail, and now, you know, some of the schools like Roseville and Fraser and, you know, for a long time, PH struggled. Northern struggled for a long time.
Yeah.
But a lot of teams starting to make a turnaround. Well, what do you think about your old buddy Larry Rollins and the job he's doing?
He's doing a pretty good job up there, you know. The game that we played him felt like we should have did a little bit better. It'll be interesting, man. Them because they moved up to the Mac Blue, right?
I haven't heard.
I don't know if anything's official yet. Yeah. I know that I've heard rumors of some teams moving places, but again, you never know with the MAC meetings.
Yeah.
You'll come out and you'll hear a team move down who just went like 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know with that conference.
Well, that happened with Madison, and Madison's good. Yeah. Madison was playing in the gold and winning, and all of a sudden they're down in the silver and winning.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but yeah, Larry. I mean, I played football with him in high school, graduated college with him at Saginaw Valley. So I've known Larry for a long, long time. Graduated with his brother, Ryan. So been around Larry for a while.
Yeah, I think having a strong Big Reds and a strong Huskies is good.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Good. Makes for that that cross-town rival. It's a big night, man. It's a lot of people there, and people come from all over to watch that game. But that's what Friday Night Lights is about, man.
Yeah.
Two really good teams.
Is that the best game, no matter what? Like, all the stuff you've done as an athlete, is playing in a PH Northern football game the best game?
It's up there. I say that game and then Chippewa Valley. No matter what, when I coached the girls, like our girls team basketball, like parents were almost fighting one game down there. And
now, are you just limiting that to high school or everything with your?
Well, I'm just saying, high school, but everything, okay. Like personally. So like high school, you know, PH Northern, PH Chip Valley, but I think all together, I think the biggest game I've ever been in or been a part of was the Saginaw Valley Grand Valley game.
Right, that's what I figured. What it would be.
Well, the game when we were there and Terry Mitchell was still playing. I mean, it was that day at Grand Valley. It was 29,000 people, and that didn't include the student section because they couldn't, you know.
Yeah, because they just have that giant hill that they just shove all the students on.
And yep.
It looks like the front row of a concert.
And we were in that year, Grand Valley was number one. We were number three. We went 11-2, and we lost both games to Grand Valley. So we lose some last game of the year, and then we lose some the second round of playoffs. If it wasn't Grand Valley, I knew whoever the one between us and Grand Valley is going to win the national championship. So. But getting there, man, and you just see that, and it was like, man, like this is D2, and then you look at that team, like you had like Brandon Carr, Dan Scuda.
There's a lot of good players.
Well, then my buddy Matt Black, who was our starting corner, just won the Grey Cup again in Toronto. He picked it. I mean, like you had when we did the numbers, you had 6 or 7 NFL players in that game and 4 CFL players.
Yeah, that's a lot of talent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, and I was sitting there, I'm like, man, this is crazy how many good guys are on this field. And then you see Terry Mitchell, there's no way a guy 6'2", 220 should be able to move like that. And that guy he just killed us. So I was happy and mad at the same time because it was like, that's my buddy I grew up with. But I was telling our DBs, you might want to back up just a little bit more. And they didn't want to do it, and he ran past them. So.
That's and I can't remember who it was, but it was first play of the game. You guys start at the 20, and Larry drops back and he throws to Terry, 80 yards, touchdown. They threw a flag, brought it back. Without batting an eyelash, just dropped back, ran the same play again, same result, touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, every team knew. That's why I love playing quarterback, because I knew Coach Mullins was going to put it in the air.
Yeah.
And we knew Coach Kendall was good with it. We knew every time you got to a game, it was either going to be a fade, some type of pass play the first game. We go come out and test your corners and see what they got. And if you go back, we'll do the 99 comeback. Like, we'll just throw it to the back shoulder or whatever, try to get a real long deep dig or something. But I loved it. Like, when I was coming up as a sophomore and a junior year, we were at a camp and a four-way scrimmage or whatever. And you get in there, and it's like, oh, man, I'm nervous. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I look over, I see Isaiah Baker. I'm just like, hey, just go deep. I don't know the play. I'm scared. I'm nervous. Just throw it deep. And we got a touchdown. So I was like, all right, just
throw it up. You feel a little better after that.
Yeah, when you see those guys, all right, hey, just run the fade. I got you.
There was a 99-yard touchdown pass, too, to Josh Collier one afternoon. That was in a Saturday game.
Yep, I remember that one. Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun doing Big Red football.
There's been a lot of talented players to come through there.
Yeah.
Play at Memorial Stadium.
Why didn't you come play at Memorial Stadium?
Taddy did everything he could.
No, I'm joking. Did you ever play? No, did Marysville ever play?
I played in middle school there.
Oh, okay.
And then I played Northern my senior year, but that was at home.
That's what I meant. Like, why didn't you guys? Because I know my senior year we played Marysville, but I don't think PH hasn't played Marysville.
It's been a long time. And I missed that game.
Listen, I have been a big proponent of that game. I have done what I can to bring that game back. That is what I'll say. I am not at fault for that.
They got to listen to the almighty Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We got to take another break here, but can you hang out for one more?
Yep.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Marion Stewart in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. All right, welcome back. Coach Marion Stewart's hanging out with us today here on the Dennis Stuckey Show, and we're having a lot of fun. All right, let's do it, Brady. You want Jim Caldwell fired.
I'm mad he's not fired today.
Wow.
He blew another game. You have three timeouts left, and it's another example of how he doesn't know how to manage a game. Challenge that. Is there any reason why you don't challenge that? When you have three timeouts and the two-minute warning, so even if you do get it wrong, you still have three stoppages of play.
You're talking about the Tate.
Yeah, the Golden Tate catch, non-catch.
A long pass, yeah.
Can we get a run game?
Yeah, well, okay, so let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Mary.
Come on, Brady, let's go. Let's hear.
You're a football coach, right?
Yeah.
You evaluate where your strengths and weaknesses are as an offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you see the Lions have a better pass game, right? Why do you still try to run the ball on first and second down on most drives?
Because my thought process is they do it enough to try to keep the defense honest and enough so that if it is a three and out, which they have a lot of anyway, you're not giving the other team that much time of possession. At least you're trying to get some of the clock.
Okay, I can accept that a few times. When it happens like 6-7 times in a game where it's, all right, handoff gain of one, handoff loss of two, and now it's 3rd and 11.
Yeah.
Why not run slants? Why not run a bubble screen? Oh. Why not run something else that gets a Theo Riddick or a Golden Tate in open space rather than Teon Green, who honestly has been a decent running back?
Or how about this? You actually get an O-line and actually develop and actually look like you kind of want to run the ball. The Lions look like they just run the ball just because it's a play.
Yeah.
Like,
the O-line is –
that's the way I feel about
right.
it. And I was upset. I don't – you know, like I just watch the game. I don't scream at every single play. But they had first and what, 20-something, and they run. And then they run again on second down.
Yes.
I don't like back-to-back runs there. I get it if you're going to run a draw play or something and try to catch the defense
mm-hmm.
and see if you can get 5 or 6 yards, you know. But to do it two plays in a row –
right.
That was a little annoying, but like, I blame Jim Bob Cooter for that.
Yeah, and well, okay.
More than I blame the head
yes,
coach.
I can blame Jim Bob Cooter too, but who does he act as, who does he like respond to? The head coach. He calls the game that the head coach wants called. So that's, again, falls back on him. You know, you can fire Jim Bob Cooter too. You can put him in the catapult with him.
So if this one thing, if you're firing Caldwell, who's his replacement?
It doesn't matter because here's – no, no. We've had this discussion on the air before. I know Jim Caldwell is not a championship-caliber head coach. My goal is to get a championship. Ergo, I don't keep Jim Caldwell employed. I might go get someone else. There is a chance he'll be worse. I admit that. But I'd rather go and try to get better than – then keep this guy and know I have the ceiling on me of maybe a playoff win. I don't think a Jim Caldwell coach, because look, Jim Caldwell had Peyton Manning, the second best quarterback of the last 25 years. Couldn't get it done.
Who's the first?
Tom Brady.
Interesting. Go blue. I got a love-hate relationship with Tom Brady.
I think we all do in this room.
I think the thing that makes, like, I love him as a football player. But I think it's his fans, the New England fans,
oh, yeah.
that make me more upset than anybody. Like, just the entitlement, this sense of, like, I just can't stand.
Isn't that Michigan fans, too? Oh,
no,
wait, did
no,
I say that
not.
A lot?
No, it's not. No, it's not. And this is a Buckeye. It's a Buckeye baby
Jim
right
Harbaugh.
Here. It's a Buckeye baby right here.
How do we get off of Jim Caldwell?
Because you said what you had to say. You're for getting rid of him. At this stage, I'm indifferent because I don't feel that's going to be the solution to the problem. You know what I think the problem is. The problem is at the top.
Right.
The Ford family owns the football team. So no matter what changes beneath them, if they don't change,
yeah,
nothing beneath them is going to change. You can bring in all the new faces, and they have. for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
How many coaches? How many GMs?
But I'm not going to quit wanting to try to get better, because how many games this year has Jim Caldwell had just this year that you could say has had a direct impact on them losing the game? Like, you could say if he did this differently, the Lions can win. You have the 9 men on the field in Baltimore, which that's a big 3rd and 7, down 7. You have not going for the points, then going for the points against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I didn't like the way he did the Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He looked confused. He looked like he didn't know what was going on. You could say Sunday he didn't know what to do. He didn't challenge. I think there's one more that's going over my head, but then there's other examples from previous years. The Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary.
The running game stands out for me. They beat the Falcons if they've got somebody that can score for 1 yard.
But my thing, too, with the – they have yet to invest. Like, they had Javid Best. That didn't work out. But since Javid Best, they have been consistently grabbing scout team guys, Division II guys, just guys who just throw in there. And then you grab Reggie Bush on his last leg.
Right. Reggie Bush and Joique Bell was the last time that 1 year where they both had 500 rushing and 500 receiving. Yeah, but, last year they were had a competent running game.
But the thing is, you want a competent running game, but you don't go get a competent running back.
Like, right.
There's been guys out there that have been available in free agency, or guys that you could have passed up and traded and did something in the draft to get. But then we say, oh, no, we'll just go get a cheap Reggie Bush. We'll get a Joique Bell for a couple dollars. And for you, being a Wayne State guy, and I graduated with Joique Bell, I think he shot himself in the foot where he could have resigned with the Lions
and wanted more money.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I think he kind of overplayed his hand. But, you know, I will blame Bob Quinn for that. I think that's been his biggest mistake. He thought that Amir Abdullah and he thought Theo Riddick were going to be able to work behind an approved offensive line. He thought that was the problem why it wasn't working. Obviously, I don't think that's been the case. Rick Wagner and TJ Lang have basically been hurt all season.
Yeah.
And Taylor Decker, his shoulder blew out before the season even started. So that's tough. But, yeah, I wanted them to get Dalvin Cook this year in the second round. That's who I wanted them to get. And you know what? If they don't get a running back this offseason, then, yeah, I think a lot of blame should go to Bob Quinn. But
they won't.
But they thought that it was the offensive line, not the running backs, so they went to fix that. It's the running backs. You can tell.
Yeah.
So
you don't have a back.
I think they need to go get one in the draft. Maybe even the first round.
Or what I would like to see is grab one of those running backs from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Because there's no way all three of those guys are going to stay.
Right.
Next year, grab one of them.
It all depends on the price, too. You can get the guy in the draft cheaper. It depends who's there.
There you go, being a Ford person again, trying to go get the cheap materials.
Okay,
see?
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. Let's say the Lions pick what? Let's say they go 8, and let's say they lose or they win. They're picking what, 19th, mid to late teens?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance, like if a Saquon Barkley's there at 10 or 11, do you trade up and get him?
I would.
And that's technically, I just mean contract-wise, cheaper than going out and signing a free agent. Plus, he's younger, so there's less chance of that fall off. That's why I like going through the draft for a running back. Because rarely do you see running backs sign in free agency somewhere else and do really well for more than even a year.
It's worked before, but I just feel like the Lions need to – the running game is terrible. You need to invest somewhere. Either you're going to have to move up and get a good running back and show that you want to pay that money, or – get a guy who is another team's guy that's about to get paid. Like the only thing is the guy, the running back that went from Miami to
Ajayi.
Only thing that kind of makes me hesitate with him is Miami let him go. He was the best player. So it was something in that locker room that went on. So, but I mean, either Philadelphia has that good of a locker room, or they just aren't letting it be known it is and getting out.
See, there's a coach. He catches. Normal fans don't catch that kind of stuff.
Like,
why did they get rid of him? Believe me, if they got rid of a good player, there's a reason.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, and for a coach to
like maybe across the street.
Like,
like I see people complaining about. But anyway.
Like, if you get rid of somebody like that, man, that's your best player, a guy who had, what, 1,700, 1,800 rushing yards a year before or whatever, and you just say, all right, I'm done with it, he had to do a whole lot behind the scenes for them to be like, you know,
maybe he just clashed with the GM and head coach. Maybe sometimes that's it. You've seen examples where you've had bullheaded head coaches that just get rid of them. But hey, if they do that, I'll be happy. I just want them to address it. Yeah. At least show that you're trying to fix the problem. That way, if it doesn't work, you don't feel as bad about it than just saying, oh, it'll fix itself. Like Javid Best, if he doesn't get hurt, if his brain stays fine, the Lions have a good running game. Yeah. Remember that start? Remember that game, that Monday night game against Chicago? He was explosive. I think he had, what, like 200 yards that game? Had like an 85-yard touchdown run?
All right, Coach. Thanks for stopping by today.
No problem.
Continued success with the Big Reds.
Thank you. We're trying to turn it around, man.
Yep. Congratulations on the win in the Ed Peltz tournament. Great
job. Appreciate it.
All right. Brady and I will be back with some more in just a minute, but we got to take a break here because Brady talked too much about Jim Caldwell.
Yes, he did.
Now I'm running behind. So we'll be back.